Hey, it's another Thursday night. It is now July the 15th, 2010. This is Russ Dizdar. Welcome to the Shadow of the Darkness Hour on Thursday nights. Listen, Thursday nights, you can get the fourth session during the week right off of the ShatterTheDarkness.net site. We want to encourage you to go through the entire week. Also, live, listening to Hawk on the Thursday night live programming. I want to welcome all of you tonight coming in and listen to thousands of you that download the archives. I want you to know that you're prayed for, that you're loved by God, that we love you, but it's the living Christ that can do all the things that we talk about, His grace, His might, His kindness. Hey, we're going to jump again into Revelation 13, and there is an incredible chapter. You cannot get this anywhere. You cannot find this kind of revelation, primarily speaking about the future, maybe the very near future. If we're four or five years away or less to the great chaos that collapses everything, then Antichrist is out there. The false prophet is out there. The two individuals that Revelation chapter 13 brings great and incredible revelation about, well, they're out there then. And also the beast regime, the political military system that is, well, in the shadows around the world, intact and ready to ascend. This week we're doing the series, You Can Feel It in the Air Today, A Darkness That Will Bite the World. Now listen, I was listening to a talk show late last night because I got a phone call from a friend about another individual that we've been trying to lead to Christ that may have a background into some of the dark stuff and into some of the Psy Warrior stuff and obviously with demonic entities engaging him. So as I was talking and dealing with this at 3 a.m. last night, I was listening to a talk show where the individual who's been around the world and studying all the different things that are coming down in the world today. And what did I hear him say? I heard him say these words, you can feel it in the air. The darkness, that ominous presence. The title this week from the ShatterTheDarkness.net website, July the 12th through the 16th, we'll carry this on Saturday and even Sunday night on the show. The theme will go all the way through. Here it is, you can feel it in the air today. A darkness that will bite the world, or maybe I should say soon. I mean, that darkness has bitten us as we've embraced it, and anyone that does, even the masqueraded front of that darkness, it doesn't take away the bite, it doesn't take away the destruction, it just simply preoccupies with a masquerade, playing with individuals that embrace counterfeit spirituality. Well, the spirituality of the spirits that are connected to this felt, ominous, dark presence around the world. It is true. It is about the issue of the end of humanity. And Revelation 13 is a massive, selective, specific, well, instruction, intel, a heads up, a lot of things. So I'm not sure what you're reading lately, but we're going to be specifically looking at verses 5 on down. But I need to go back over a couple of things. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you would have been in the heavenlies, say you were one of the angels way back, up into the heavenlies where the anointed cherub, this is Ezekiel 28 stuff. And there you were, and you've seen the anointed cherub that covers. You've seen the gemstones. You've seen the seeming perfection and beauty. But all of a sudden, this powerful, powerful, incredible anointed cherub that covers, that once walked among the fiery stones of God, turned completely, changed completely, transmuted totally, and was something absolutely different than in what he once was. But he spoke. But he spoke powerfully. I wonder what the voice of the fallen cherub, I mean, just sometime after his defection, right after his insurrection, right after his willful, violent turning from God, literally turning himself inside out. What occurred up there, we're talking about the same presence that entered the garden. The same presence that rose up against Israel and enticed David, or tried to entice him to sin. The same presence that engaged Jesus, Matthew 4. Revelation 12, the same presence, the dragon, this presence that stood in Israel waiting for the Son of God to be born, to kill him, to destroy him. Same presence that every human being that has sinned, every human being that has opened the door, has given rights to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operative in those who are disobedient. I don't think the world understands. I don't think sometimes believers understand the absolute. And I think Revelation 13, the Spirit of God, once again, with chapter 12, gives this picture of a massive presence, a massive force in comparison to the fallen world system, in comparison to fallen humanity. This is huge megas. This is huge. This is why around the world it's felt. This is why the Word of God says he's the prince, the ruler of the domain of the eros, the atmosphere, encircling the earth. His presence connected inseparably from the fallen angels by the hundreds of millions. Collectively emanate the energy, emanate the presence, emanate the power that is now felt and has been operative and is active in lives that have listened to the voice and voices behind the dark powers. So I want you to hear me tonight when I say that the beast and beast kingdom inseparably, the idea that it's rising, ascending out of the sea of humanity, all over the earth, there really is an Illuminati, a Luciferian body of individuals worldwide that are part of this ancient worship and commitment. They are spiritually drenched, empowered. They are deeply experienced in the forces and the powers, and they are part of a plot. My engagement with some of them, they cannot wait. They want the chaos to occur. They want to break out. They believe. Undergrounders that I'm talking about, they believe that their great hero is alive. The world teacher, the Mahdi, the Maitreya, the Antichrist, they believe that their world leader, their Führer, their leader is alive. And that they're beckoning, that they're bulging at the seams to break out and do all that they're planning and plotting to do. Now, we've already looked at the beginning of Revelation 13. And again, the concept of the nature of the beast kingdom. Multinational, specific leadership, clearly connected in this theme that is in the first 8 verses. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Blasphemies. You'll see it again and again and again. As they rise and claim their divinity, as they rise and claim their godlikeness, as they rise and defy the God of heaven and the Christ of the cross, and exalt themselves and the Antichrist himself above all else, declaring himself to be God. The presence and the power is fueled by the incredible voice. Yes, he's going to be, and the system, the Antichrist system, massively swift. They will move fast. They will be like a bear that that devours and tramples and that pounces. And they're going to have a mouth like that of a lion. And this thing, this mouth, goes back to the book of Daniel. This idea of a mouth that speaks the way it does and says what it says is very much like the book of Daniel. Here's where we're going to see the speech is kind of that quiet, that voice to skull, that whispering of Satan and the demons for years and years and years. I mean, Jesus heard his voice in Matthew 4 as there was an interaction. You can read about that and look at the conversation. Once again, a revelation of the fallen cherub, but a supernatural, huge, spiritually huge presence and power. The audacity to engage the Son of God and seek to bring him down. Revelation 12 would teach that the goal was to kill God in human flesh. When you read Revelation 13, my dear friends, listen now. It's all about how, well, the apex, the pinnacle, how huge the presence and the power of the Antichrist and the Antichrist system becomes. It is a revelation of the unseen but known dragon, the presence of the dragon, the kind of the force in the air, the sense of the manifest presence, where the power is coming from, where the power emanates, the energy emanates, the ability. And let's take a look. Verse 4, Revelation 13. Mankind worshipped the dragon. Well, because he had given authority to the beast. Now notice that humanity worships the unseen but felt and known presence, a dark spiritual presence. They're going to engage and believe in and worship the spirituality, the spiritual presence that is unseen but that backs, produced and backs the Antichrist himself. Millions and millions of individuals will worship the unseen but their presence of the dragon. They'll also worship the beast, the Theron. This, he looks like a man, face like a man, eyes like a man, but he's not just a man. Homo Satanus. And he may be on the earth right now. And there will be an apocalypse of the man of lawlessness. And there will be an ascendancy of his regime. It will occur on the heels of the chaos and the anarchy and the bloodshed, the concept of the red horse of Revelation 6. You want to know something fantastic again tonight? When you take a look at Revelation 13, and I've said from the beginning, read this chapter and read this chapter and read this chapter, it is Revelation that is infinitely broader, wider, accurate, infallible, irrevocable, and specific, way beyond anything that could have come from Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, the psychics, the remote viewers, even the ancient stuff from the dark spirits of the Mayans or anywhere else. They would not, could not, spell out the detail of the future the way God does. So when we're looking at this chapter, you are looking at special information. You are looking at a heads up of what has not yet occurred. You are looking at that which will bring the entire earth to the most horrific global economic, environmental disasters in human history. You're looking at the regime, the spirituality, the person. You got the spirituality now. You got the Superman now. Is this what the New Agers really want? Is this what the 2012ers really want? Is this what the Luciferians really believe? God's never been wrong in all the prophecies, never erred or missed. God, in giving the insight, not only says what will happen, what the dark side will do, but also what he will do, what God will do. And God can also, and this, my dear friends, is from 2,000 years ago. It speaks not only of the coming of the beast, identifying him for what he really is. Alice Bailey thinks that he's a world teacher. A lot of the alienologists think that it will be an alien visitation of a super race and a super somewhat human being. Of course, the Muslim scholars talk about a Mahdi. Others talk about a Maitreya. It all points to the concept of a superman that's going to come to help lead the world. In every one of those cases, they are absolutely inaccurate and paint a picture of a masqueraded Satan in human flesh. They don't tell the truth. The Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God says it like it really is. Beast coming up out of the sea of humanity in inseparable connection to the political, military, economic system. 10 horns, 7 heads, the crowns. An immediate revelation of the blasphemous name. It rises with an assault against everything God. This corresponds with Daniel. This corresponds with 2 Thessalonians 2. Now please, I want you to get this picture before we deal with the voice. The voice of an ancient hate, and then the interlude, the prophetic interlude that God gives in the context of the revelation of chapter 13. This is a huge revelation. It is adding the broadest pieces that Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jesus in Matthew 24, Thessalonians, 1 John, all of that combined. And this brings the clearest definition and broadens all of the other pieces that God has already spoken. The huge impact of the apocalypse of Antichrist and the ascendancy of a regime that will seem like the greatest thing that has ever arisen in all of human history. It will seem like an ancient, glorious, spiritually empowered politic, economic system, and military might has now saved the world and will lead the world to the, well, age of Aquarius, the big promise. Well, again, it's the big betrayal. But look at verse 3. It talks about, again, the kind of bonding. Something brings death, a fatal wound. But that it was healed. By what power? You think God's going to heal the Antichrist? You think God's going to heal any part of this? No. So it's a demonstration, again, of counterfeit death resurrection. Counterfeit miraculous power, but may have the psychological inseparable from spiritual bonding effect. Because look what happens immediately next. Immediately the whole world was astonished. The effect of the death and the healing, the healing is a resurrection. The fatal wound. And then the healing, the resurrection, the bringing back to life. This staged event, most likely, operative by supernatural powers, just as there's counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, so it may be that Satan seeks to counterfeit resurrection power. Underground Brotherhooders have told me that they have, in ritual format, practiced and sought through demonic summoning, empowering, during a ritual in which they kill human beings and then release or exercise the demonic powers to bring them back. The practice of death resurrection rituals. In the future, when this actually does occur, the emotional world that went through the chaos, the collapse, the rise of a new leader, the rise of a new politic, the rise of a new military, the rise of a new system, but then a death, but a resurrection. And the response, how will it affect the world? The Word of God says, the whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Astonished. It involves massive emotional bonding. They worship the power behind the beast, the dragon. They worshiped the beast. And God now records not just the emotional response of astonishment and bonded following of the beast, but God actually reveals what it is they will say. In the future, when the Antichrist is here, when the Antichrist system has risen, when, however it occurs, a fatal wound, a death, but the demonic empowerment of a resurrection, whether faked or absolutely real, the effect is the astonishment, the emotional astonishment. It involves the pull of bonding and pull of the heart of an individual. What flows from that is they worship. They literally give submission to and embrace of the beast and the dragon. At this point, and because of the fake or counterfeit death resurrection, they'll also get, listen, look at verse 4. They're going to be saying in the future, who's like the beast? Who can make war with him? In other words, this is the most unequaled being ever in all of human history. This is the most incredible Superman in all of human history. Who is like him? Is Napoleon? Is Stalin? Genghis Khan? Let's go over all the listings. Who is like this Therion? Who is like this looks like a man but is a hybrid? Who is like the Antichrist? Who can make war against him? He is so powerful. He is so vast. He is so fast like a leopard, pouncing like a bear. And the mouth that he speaks with roars blasphemies. And look what happened. Death, but here he is again, alive. And the spiritual power hanging in the air is what gives him his power, is what brought him back. And so they will worship that power, and they will worship that person, and they will speak, they will talk about it, they will unleash their speech. This, the very words that will come out of the mouth of human beings, that is what God can speak about. It's not like remote viewing with 15% accuracy or 25% accuracy. It's not like the psychics with 25%. It's not like those guided by finite non-human enhancements. This is the real thing. God, infallibly, accurately, irrevocable, speaks what will actually happen, what will be felt, and what will be said. Can I stop for a moment and tell you something about what this tells me? That God the Father knows not only the depth and the totality of every move darkness makes and the results thereof, But it tells me again about the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, the attribute of infinity, the attribute that God is immeasurable, the attribute that God infinitely knows all things, totally, completely, all contingencies, anything possible, and everything actual. He knows about your life. It would be true that every hair on your head is a number. He knows all the numbers. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what your tears mean. God knows about you. If you ever read the book of James, chapter 5, that God desires mercy. He wants mercy to triumph over judgment. God is not willing that anybody be lost. And if all you are is a conspiracy researcher, if all you do is have the dots lining up of who stole the trillions of dollars, who's doing the oil, who the Bilderbergers are, who the Bohemian Groveites are, who the shadow government, what they're doing, globalism coming, all the rest, and not know the God that has given the accuracy, the heads up, the warning, and God who has come here himself, unveiled heaven, unveiled grace, unveiled his heart, unveiled his personal, intimate knowing of who you are and of this moment in history and of what you'll be thinking and of what you'll be feeling and of how the Holy Spirit will work in your life and how you would respond. If you're lost and you don't know God, the invitation by the Spirit of God is to come to the living Christ, to receive Jesus Christ, God, into your life as Savior and Lord. Believe on him for all that he's done at the cross for you. And all that he has and all that he offers will flow into you the moment you receive him, believe on his name, accept him as Lord, Savior, and God. And I want to say to the many that listen, and some that I know of that have written to me, that have acknowledged they do not yet know Jesus, they do not yet know God personally. They're not born again. They don't know, but they're listening. They know about the ominous feeling. They know about the end of days. They understand the concepts of Armageddon. They know that the world is moving to globalism. They know that there's evil. They know that there's lies and injustice. But you got to know there's also sin and death and hell. And Jesus died on the cross to destroy their effects forever. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, totality of forgiveness, freedom from the power of sin, Satan, death, hell, knowing God joyfully, wonderfully by the Spirit of the living God that comes into your life the moment you accept him. There he is, knocking on the door of your life. Oh, you're here by providential moment. God not only knows what I'm going to say and leads by his Spirit what I'm going to be saying, and the reading of the word. But he knows your response. All the believers out there can be praying with me. We pray that you will come to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and know God and have the gift of eternity, have the Spirit of God, and have the content that brings absolute clarity to life, origins, endings, knowing of God, God's leading and direction in your life. I simply confess, for 35 years, God has loved me in my life and leads and guides, and I've got story after story after story after story of God's goodness, leading, personal help, answered prayer. Speaking to you right now live or by archives, well, for me in ministry, is a direct, crystal clear answer to prayer. The doors that God opens. God gives now the opening of the future, the events of the future. God does not withhold when he shares in this chapter the immensity of the beast, of the beast kingdom, and of the reaction of the fallen world that does not have the Spirit of Christ in them. The incredible embrace. So I warn the New Agers and I warn the others that have all the precursors of non-human enhancements and non-human intelligences touching you and energies and forces and spirits and spirit guides. If it comes from the dark side, the fallen side, never can it lead you to God, nor would it want to. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, operative to point you to Christ. Well, what's wrong with saying Jesus loves you personally, has come for you, and right now summons you, and right now you can open your life and let him come in? I pray that you do, and I urge you to write to me so I can help you with some discipleship teaching. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. Let me now touch one small little commercial, and we will come back to verse 5, give you the, again, broader picture, and then talk about two voices, the voice of an ancient hate and the voice of clarity. I'll call it the voice of sanity, the voice of warning, and a specific prophetic kind of interlude in this chapter. In the beginning of the chapter, it's about the beast kingdom, and the enormous effect and power and throne and place and all the rest. At the second half of the chapter, it's about a second beast, the false prophet. Friday at 6 p.m. live, we will unveil verse 11 on down and talk about an individual, most likely hybrid also, that could be out there right now, operative, waiting for the apocalypse of Antichrist, the ascendancy of the regime, so that he can operate too. Please understand, long before the apocalypse and the ascendancy of the regime, they're already going to be operative for years. Let's come back to this in just about 1 minute. Listen, shatterthedarkness.net. Listen, if you're brand new to listening, both live and or to the archives, if you've gone to shatterthedarkness.net, you'll see that it's a massive, very busy site, hundreds of MP3s, courses, training seminars, all of it out there free. All the links lead to all of our websites, The Black Awakening, Theology for the Third Millennium. Matter of fact, that theology course is about 54 hours, the same course I teach here in a 9-month period. The course in biblical theology, the basics, it's now absolutely free. Absolutely free. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of MP3s and teachings and interviews and everything else. All the live materials and radio shows, all archived. The good news is we're seeing massive numbers of people come to the site. The good news is that hundreds of thousands of these MP3 messages are being downloaded in up to 80 countries of the world, and that includes the Russians and the Chinese, where we've been praying for years to get the message, this gospel of Christ in the context of end time events to them. We're going to be doing a conference coming up again. We've done three already, Michigan, St. Louis, Nashville. We know that some of you listen, and so again, welcome. We love you. You know we do. And we're going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada, August 27th, 28th. It's about 35 days away, I guess, 38 days away, something like that. I don't know. A little over a month away. And so if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, where you see that little slideshow, it'll come up with the dates, August 27th, 28th. Click on that, and you'll get the website from those who are coordinating the conference with all the speakers, Connie Huff. And you'll see Anthony Hoffman, and you'll see Minister Dante Forsten, and you'll see Lynn Mazzulli and myself, August 27th, 28th. And then in Canton, Ohio, October the 1st and the 2nd. And we've got big, bold, broad news to tell you who's going to be added. I'll be there, and we'll get that up as soon as possible. But mark the dates down. And then California, the West Coast Paranormal Conference, and on the newsletter. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, up on the right-hand top side, click on the July newsletter. That will give you some definitions about the conferences. That will give you some of the names of other speakers and, again, a host of other materials. We're glad to have this out, and we are glad to be with you during every single evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thursday, you can only get it right off of the Shatter the Darkness site direct. You can get all of it in the archives. And then we also have Sunday night. And again, you can take a look at the site and see. But take your time. Come back again. Look over things. Download what you want. And take a look at all that we have to offer you. We do not have product commercials, commercial ads, or business sponsoring. So how do we take care of things? Well, we invite your participation. We do seek investment and support. How do you do that? If this has benefited you, if you're glad that it's a kind of a missionary, evangelistic endeavor to many nations and cities around the world, if you think it's a vital part of ministry right now, a good word for today, and you want to help, well, just simply when you go to the website, you'll see a place where it says, you know, how can you help? Or down low on the left, it'll talk about support. You can click on that and read our page. Bottom line, it's affecting, and there will be actually a downloading of these messages by December of 1.5 million downloads in 80 countries. So again, we want to thank you and thank all of you who've empowered us to be out here on the live radio program with Global Star. The Shadow of the Darkness Hour is, I believe it is a vital thing, and I have no question that God has opened the door. We have a lot of things we do during the week, and outreach, and personal ministry, and counsel, and deliverance, and then conferences. We love to preach in churches if there's anyone that wants to let us come. We've been doing that for 30 years. So let me just say, we invite your investment if you're interested. So, and if you're brand new, listen, if you need to know more about us, if you do go to shatterthedarkness.net, you can read my bio and everything else. The book that we put out called The Black Awakening, Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers, may not be the best written book in all of history, but it is clearly packed with information that has come out of 20-some years of engaging the underground that you will not find in any other book at this point in history. And so it's out there, and there's 100 hours of training MP3s offered free if you do get that book. Listen, we've taken about 3 or 4 minutes in that part of this segment. We appreciate your time listening, but more important now, Revelation 13. I've mentioned to you that this is a huge revelation of the pinnacle, the apex, the absolute, it's when Antichrist and the regime are at the prime of their power, their activity, of the engagement of a fallen world that is bought into it. Verse 5, now we're going to deal with the voice of an ancient hate. The beast was given a mouth. Well, you can read about it in Daniel. He's given a mouth. What does that mean? Well, it's a reference to, in all of Daniel and here, a supernaturally empowered speech, an ability to communicate, making Hitler look like Pinky the Puppet. The force of the speech, the supernatural dark power in the words. Do you remember what Jesus said? Satan is the father of lies. The father of lies. When he speaks these lies, he speaks his native. You see, he is transmuted 100% eternally. Can't change and wouldn't change. Willed not to change. So when he speaks, Jesus said, no truth remains in him. No aletheia. No truth, reality is inside of him. And so what comes out in Genesis 3, the uttering of lies, the attack on God, the attack on the Word of God, you can be guaranteed that the spiritual pulse of the world, the counterfeit, the dark, the presence in the air, the presence in the consensus, the presence in the New Age movement, the presence in the 2012 Mayan prophecies will speak stronger and stronger and stronger against the real Christ, against the real God of heaven, and continue to offer an alternative. And with this, when Satan is in human flesh, well, he's given this ability, the authority, the power, dunamis, as we've already read, dunamis power. See, as a believer in Christ, I am to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us so that we can be witnesses. The Spirit of God unleashes us. And if we have the giftings, charismatic giftings of preaching and teaching and the prophesying and the speaking forth, the Spirit of God would lead and guide and direct as we point, and my heart for all these years would be to point to Christ, to the glories of Christ, to the cross, to the Word of God, to access to God. The Spirit of God will only lead that way. And Christians out there, real believers in Christ, 1 John 4:4, greater is God the Holy Spirit that lives in you than he who is in the world, referring to Satan and or the Antichrist. So I want you to know that as huge and vast and powerful and supernatural the speech of the Antichrist will be, don't you back down one ounce, realizing that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God dwells inside of you and upon you and is with you. Paul said it, and the Lord stood by my side. God the Holy Spirit upon you, in you, teaching, guiding, illuminating the Word of God, and moving you with God's love, empowering you to unleash Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. Romans 1:16. Well, the revelation here, it hasn't yet occurred. Nobody has heard this. Maybe the undergrounders. Maybe in secret meetings. Could it be that the Antichrist has been to the Bilderberger meetings? The hidden meetings out there on Malta? How about Bohemian Grove? I mean, if he's here 30 years before the apocalypse of his visible presence, you don't think he's meeting with his people? I think Daniel alludes to the fact that his presence in politics precedes his apocalypse to this ultimate rule. He has a mouth. He opens wide his mouth. He's going to do this again and again. Look at the context. Blasphemies. Blasphemies. It's the word that has the idea of speaking out and railing with slander and malice. I mean, utterly screaming it out and bringing out the rant, the railing against what? Have you seen what it says here? That he opens wide his mouth. He opens his mouth. He opens this empowered Satan's mouth through human instrumentality. I mean, I've heard the demons speak through people many times in deliverance sessions, in encounters, commanding in the name of Jesus, be manifest, don't hurt the person. What is your name? Or they just simply come up. I've heard the blasphemies, the mockery, the slander. I've heard the vulgar languages. The blasphemies will be two things. One, the absolute slandering and of God, but also the self-declaration that he and the regime is a divine thing, that he himself is God. It's the Antichrist, Satan in human skin, pitting himself against God, slamming God. Where is God? Why isn't God? Look what we're doing. Self-exaltation is involved. Self-exaltation to deity is involved. Verse 5, the beast was, well, given a mouth to utter proud, blasphemous, you know, words. The primary exercise of this, not just one day, not few speeches, 3.5 years. The primary time of his solidity of power, pinnacle of power. Did you read verse 6? He opens his mouth to blaspheme God directly. That is, Satan in human skin has gotten a part of his goal done. And in front of billions around the world, he will unleash supernatural satanic speech in slandering, blaspheming, speaking against God with the goal of turning the hearts and lives of millions far, far away. In this same speech, he's going to slander his name, the name of God, Jesus Christ. Thomas bowed down, said, "My Lord, my God." In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word became flesh, Jesus Christ. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved, Jesus Christ. Demons fear what name? Jesus Christ. What name are they cast out? Look at Acts 16. Paul commands a powerful demon out of a girl in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been maligned in the massive New Age movement, in the secret societies, in the growing Mayan concepts, in the alienology, the ripping down, the reductionism, the de-deifying and stripping him of saviorhood and omnipresence, all of who he really... This is what the spirits have promoted in doctrines of demons through channeling, visitations, and speeches. Galatians 1 says that if an angel or anybody else preaches a different gospel, a different Christ, it is so severe, it is so horrific, that they are to be anathema. Any human being to preach a false Christ means they've been guided by demonic entities, masqueraded. It goes back to the prophecy in Timothy 4:1. And so the speech is in verse 6. He opens his mouth, blasphemes God, slanders the name, blasphemes the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also his dwelling, heaven. The speech, God declares what is going to come out of the mouth of the Antichrist in keeping the world deceived, in solidifying his worship by them, control over them. The slamming of God, the slamming of God's name, and the slamming of heaven itself. And then fourthly, Homo Satanas, Satan in human skin, will slander all the believers who have already absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know there's millions and millions in heaven right now? You know that the dead in Christ, the physical body in the ground, they'll be raised first when Christ comes. You can call it the Latin rapture. It's the Greek word harpezo, the snatching away quickly by a mighty force. We who are alive will be snatched up when that occurs in the twinkling of an eye. But even right now, listen, Moses is there, Elijah is there, Deborah is there, Esther is there, Matthew is there, Mark is there, Philip is there, John Wesley is there. my grandmother that I led to Christ years ago, the one that I was right there looking at her face to face when she died. She knew she was going to heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I mean, how else could the transfiguration happen? For the Moses and Elijah, for them to show up and discuss Christ's departure. Amazing. Heaven is amazing. It's teeming. It's packed. It's alive. When one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. Great joy in heaven over the salvation of one life. Over yours. You know, God's glad that you're saved. God has joy over your salvation if you are. And if you give your heart to Christ today and do get saved today, listen, there is an emotional joy that is the response of you coming home to God, of being born again unto God. So the speech goes against God, His name, the heavens, and also all of those who are there right now. That's right. Ultimately, after the catching up and the glorification at some point in time, in the descent of the Lord Jesus, Revelation 19, verse 11, if you're a believer, that's a verse that prophesies a future moment of your history. You will be descending out of the heavens with Christ as He visibly comes down. Check out Revelation 19:11, believer. It's about you and about the Savior at the old rugged cross, yet the Savior returning. The speech is going to be bad and horrible and horrific and loud and persuasive supernaturally. Verse 7, on the heels of the speech, just like with Hitler, but again, Hitler being but a pinky puppet in comparison to the power of the speech of Antichrist. He, Homo Satanus, was given power to make war. This is out of Daniel also. Against the saints and to conquer them. There will be, I believe, in the midst of the end of the first 3.5 years, somewhere around the middle of the tribulation time, when things are going to go haywire. A covenant broke with Israel. An edict to kill all believers worldwide. You'll notice in Revelation 7 that there are believers from every tribe, language, nation, and people in heaven who came out of the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Megali. Moving into the second half of the 7 years, the great, the tribulation. And yet there's an edict to slaughter worldwide every nation, every people, every tribe. The goal, way beyond Hitler's goal, the final solution to believers in Jesus Christ is annihilation. Extermination. It doesn't actually occur. The attempt is there. In this attempt, when Antichrist declares and makes war, bloodshed. Oh, let me tell you something. Here's where we come to the middle of this chapter. Where the warning, the declaration, war on the saints means that millions of believers in Christ will die. That persecutions like in the days of Rome. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read about the thousands and thousands of believers that are dying in the Sudan. Read about the believers that have been tortured in China and in Russia. As a matter of fact, you can go read a book by Richard Wurmbrand. Richard Wurmbrand. Marx and Satan. It's all about a man. 14 years a prisoner of the communist government. Decided to go deep in his study of communism because of the atrocities of torture of Christians. The other book that's written about him, Tortured for Christ. You can get that book now for about a penny on Amazon, along with the... But I would say read it, especially Marx and Satan, where the backdrop to communism is smothered, inspired through real Satanism, real dark Luciferic occult practice. That's right. And so if you want to read about it direct, straight from an individual that was tortured and there in prison for 14 years, straight from someone who's interact with... Listen, Marx and Satan by Richard Wurmbrand. Wurmbrand. Check it out. I think it's a good book to read in light of this chapter. I think it's a good book to read in light of the persecutions that have occurred. There's another book called By Their Blood, which lets everybody know that more human beings, believers in Jesus Christ, have been martyred in the 20th century than in the history of the church. That we have believers imprisoned in China and other places around the world, killed in South Africa, South America. And the great chaos to come with those who will unleash it. In their own words, they lust for Christian blood. They can't wait to kill Christians. One bumper sticker said, "Too many Christians, not enough lions." You see, here it now says in verse 8 of chapter 13, all the inhabitants, the earth dwellers, those who are given over to the Antichrist, they're going to worship the beast. Then it gives this notation. All of those whose names have not been written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain. See, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are born again by the Spirit of God, your name is in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. You'll never see the second death. You'll never see the great white throne judgment. For the Luciferians listening, for the Satanists listening, for those on the other side of the fence listening, it's really your choice. It really is. But today, that you're listening to the message of Jesus Christ who loves you, died for you, the power of the blood of the Lamb of God, by calling on the name of Jesus Christ, turning to Him, renouncing the devil, renouncing the demons, renounce all the sin, renounce it all, come to Christ. The coming persecutions are predicted. The largest, broadest persecution on believers in Christ than ever in history is prophesied and foretold in the book of Revelation. The Antichrist, Satan in human skin, with his regime worldwide, will unleash through the troops of Antichrist. Some of you may be listening right now. Be unleashed to kill millions. So in light of the beast kingdom, the unbelievable mouth that speaks with such supernatural power and authority, demonic, satanic rather, obvious, against God, against His name, against heaven, against those who are in heaven. He can't get to none of them. And so the unleashing of making war on the saints and killing, that's one way of His demonstrating His rage against God. Kill anybody who believes in Jesus. That's why Revelation 13 talks about overcoming the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That's why now God gives a prophetic interlude. He who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. It goes back to Jeremiah, if you want to read it sometime. It's the concept out of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Go read, and you'll see again where this concept in the beginning of the book of Revelation, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Here's again, he who has an ear, let him akuo. Let him hearken to verse 10. For a lot of scholars, this is a problem. It's not a problem for me. God is just simply declaring, if anyone is going to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is going to be killed with a sword, he will be killed. It has the concept that in the vast persecutions, imprisonment and killing will occur. And God says to Christians, this calls for patience, endurance, and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Remember what God said to the one church in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3? Be faithful to the point of death. Be faithful to the point of death. Can I say it again? The interlude of this massive chapter that reveals the beast kingdom, the power, the global span, the false prophet, the overwhelming, consuming control. In the midst of it, God says to the believer, to us, prepared. There are going to be those that go into captivity. There are going to be those that are killed with the sword. Do you know the power of perseverance? The power of endurance? Do you know the power? You know, faithfulness is the greatest success you could ever have. We'll talk more about this on Friday night. We are at the end of the hour. And again, we're going to just simply say that we are glad that you've been here. Please remember us, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Good night.